Mm-hmm. Oh, no, it's fine then.
How did that sound?
Yeah, it was alright.
It's probably just an anomaly.
Well, that's all you are really, isn't it? Hello and welcome to this week's edition of Bad Moon Rising. We've got Spock.
Hello.
And that's all. And me, Bib, obviously.
Just the two of us this show.
Yeah. It's a two-man show this week. This week we're talking about the impending apocalypse, 2012.
Indeed.
Okay, Spock.
2012 Doomsday Prediction, which is a present-day cultural meme proposing that cataclysmic and apocalyptic events will occur in the year 2012. Now, I think, you know, most people would have had to be living under a rock to avoid knowing something about this or coming across it on TV or on the web.
I think it's a lot more advertised now, isn't it?
Yeah,
than it was, say, a couple of years ago.
I mean, mankind always seems to have this thing for prophecies of doom. And I think if you sort of think back, the last one was the Y2K bug.
Hmm.
And all sorts of scenarios were set for that, like satellites falling out of the sky, nuclear missiles accidentally launching off, and all sorts of things, all sorts of disasters, and, you know, the financial system collapsing.
Yeah, and that's just happening now, so...
Yeah, I mean, I remember Y2K. I remember the lead-up to Y2K.
I remember being very disappointed on New Year's Day.
I knew it was just bollocks. It's just absolute bollocks. And people they say, well, yeah, all these prophecies, you know.
Well, a lot of people made a lot of money out of it as well.
Well, yeah, there you go. A lot, so, yeah, the IT.
Yeah, so that's another thing.
The IT crowd probably made a lot of money out of it.
Yeah, there's probably a conspiracy theory behind it somewhere.
Probably, but, yeah. I mean, anyone that... All right, I'm a bit of a techie, I know a bit about computers, but anyone with even a shallow understanding of computer technology knew that nothing was going to happen.
Hmm.
I knew nothing was going to happen. That it was just bollocks. You change a date in a computer, it's not just going to suddenly collapse.
Well, it wasn't. Yeah, but that wasn't the reason why everybody was so worried about it. It was the infrastructure that the computers controlled.
Yeah.
Because in the 80s, they tried to save memory on these programs by putting the date as a two-digit number. And because back then, back in the 80s, late 70s, early 80s, when a lot of these core programs were written, it was, you know, a big thing to have as much memory as possible, you know, and use as little as possible in your programs. Memory was at a premium, basically.
Well, I mean, leading up into the 90s, I don't remember most computers that could only cope with a two-digit year date. I mean, you'd have to go back into the 70s to find those. And
yeah, but if you look at before 2000, I think a lot of the you know, the industries that were set up in the 80s, computerized in the 80s, still had a lot of the hardware from the 80s.
Yeah, fair play. I mean, there's going to be like legacy systems and stuff like that, but still, you know, all this chaos and doom.
Anyway, everybody was shitting their pants because they thought, I'm not going to be able to get on the tube tomorrow in case it blows up or something.
Uh-huh. Well, in case the train comes off the track and just can't cope with the date.
Because it can't tell the date.
I know. I knew it was ridiculous. Most people thought that, and it came and passed and nothing.
Hello, and welcome to Blind Eye. I'm Godfrey Salter. And in this special broadcast, we will be examining what will happen as a result of the Millennium Computer Bug, which will cripple all the world's computer systems and, most likely, end the world as we know it. This is a computer chip. These are found in computers. They're also to be found in microwaves video recorders, nuclear submarines, televisions, fridges, telephones, computers, cars, hospitals, factories, even in some of your children's toys. When the event happens, you need to be ready for the eventuality that everything you own and use in your day-to-day life will stop working. Remember, the millennium bug will infect and destroy 85% of the world's estimated 480 million computers. So how has this come about? What has the government done to stop it? To answer these questions, we turn to James Duval, Minister of Technology. Mr. Duval, thank you for taking time out of what I imagine must be a very busy schedule to be here.
Not at all, Mr. Salter. It is a pleasure to be here.
Why has this government not done enough to prevent the millennium bug?
Oh, I think it is fair to say that the government has done everything necessary to prevent any problems as the new millennium rolls out. I think it is the media who are making too much fuss over this.
And how much fuss would you like the media to make over the end of the world?
Oh, please, Godfrey. We are not talking about the end of the world.
All computer systems crashing, every electronic component failing, a global collapse of political, logistical, economical networks? That sounds like the end of the world to me. And you say we're making too much fuss. Well, I think, sir, you should be making more of a fuss.
I have acted in full accordance with my remit. We as a government have taken as many precautions as is humanly possible.
We're not worried about what is humanly possible. It's the computers that frighten us. You're treating people's lives like a child plays with pogs. Imagine this. A man goes for dinner on New Year's Eve to a restaurant. After midnight, he goes to pay for his meal, but his credit card is declined. So the police are called to arrest him for stealing, but the phones don't work. Then the power is cut, so he leaves. But he can't go down the lifts because the lifts have stopped working too. So he goes down the stairs to the street, where everything is on fire because of the looting and rioting. And when he gets home, through a chaos that makes Beirut look like Blackpool, he finds that his house has been burgled because the alarms have stopped working. And when he gets inside, he finds the burglars have stolen everything but the TV and video recorder. But he can't console himself by watching his favourite show. Oh no, because the clock and the video recorder have stopped working, so he hasn't taped his favourite show. And even if he had, his television wouldn't work anyway.
Really, Godfrey, this is precisely the kind of nonsense I am talking about. The only thing there that you have said which could potentially happen is the video recorder mixing up the dates.
This is a threat. This is the greatest threat to society since Attenborough put those dinosaurs on that island. Why won't you admit to me that you and your cronies have failed as well? That was James Duval, Government Minister for Technology. Friends, we here at Blind Eye cannot be sure what will happen in the aftermath of the millennium bug. All we can do is hope that as a country, no, as a people, we can make it through together to the light of a brighter day. Coming up next, Neighbours, thank you for watching Blind Eye. Good night.
And of course, people look back at that now. And when you talk about 2012, which has got a wealth more, it's far more grounded in solid history, I would say. I wouldn't necessarily say fact, because a lot of it is ambiguous. But it is definitely a hell of a lot more grounded than Y2K, and it's definitely something we should really worry about, much more than Y2K or any of the silly predictions that came before it.
Right, so what evidence do we have?
Well, as I say, I mean, it's all kind of ambiguous. We got prophecies from all over the world on this one. So, I mean, you can look at the Bible, the revelation of John. You got ancient Rome and the oracles of ancient Rome. And obviously the most popular one everyone talks about, the pyramids of Maya, or the Mayan sort of predictions, their long count calendar. And the long count calendar, you know, is supposed to come to an end.
So what does that mean?
Well, as far as I can tell from the research, the Mayans never really came outright and said this was going to be the end of the world. I think they kind of implied that it would be a a major event, but they didn't necessarily point to a complete end of the world.
And what could they mean then by, I mean, obviously somebody's read into this that
people read it. This is what I mean by it's ambiguous. As far as I can tell, you know, the calendar comes to an end on December 21st, 2012. Now, they did say there would be a massive change, the Mayans. And obviously a lot of people have picked up upon this. And in a flurry to sell books, have tried to scare people into saying that the world is going to come to an end. But it could also mean that there's just a major change, and a lot of people have posited that it could be just a big sociological change, what do you call global consciousness? What do they call that?
I don't know. Maybe it's a period of enlightenment.
Yeah, there's one word for it, isn't it? I suppose it must be global consciousness, or the global unconscious.
I just can't see that being a
shift in thinking.
But why? Why would that happen? Something would have to happen for everybody on the planet to have a shift in, you know, shaking their beliefs, basically.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Well, have a look around you now. What's happening now? You know, we're actually seeing, since 9/11, we have started to see a change in people's attitude towards the materialistic consumer society that we've been kind of growing up in, haven't we, since forever, since modern history, going back to, say, the 70s, just after the 60s and the 80s. You know, the signs of success, and to be successful you need lots of money, a big house, a car, all this sort of thing. That's how it went in the 80s. And now we're seeing a collapse of the financial system and greater distrust in those in power.
So heading towards a more spiritual age, you mean?
Yeah, and if you look at it now, where it was 20... Shit, what year is it? 2009. it's 2009 now.
Yeah, too much Pro Plus, mate.
You can gradually see a kind of... I mean, there's a lot of predictions already. I don't know if you... You can see the predictions for this financial crisis are that, oddly enough, the recovery is not going to come until the year 2012. And a lot of finance.
So everybody's been saying 2010, though.
No, it depends who you listen to. If you listen to the Labour government in this country, they all tell you, yeah, the recovery is just around the corner. Because don't forget, we got the elections coming up. So they're not going to tell you that it's, you know, that we're in for the long haul. And I think if you look at some of the more independent financial bodies and philosophers out there, they'll actually tell you we're in for the long haul. Things aren't going to improve until 2012. So what we're seeing is a collapse of that whole system of materialism. It's now collapsing around us, and people are having to evaluate or reevaluate their values and what they thought, you know, was the way they should be living, and the whole mindset's changing very slowly as we head towards 2012.
Well, the 2012 end date of the Maya Long Count calendar is a subject that's been looked at for many years. And for me, back in the late 80s, early 90s, I realized there was a great unsolved mystery. Why did the Maya place the end of their calendar in 2012? One thing that was very clear is that it is an accurate winter solstice. So to me, that meant that, well, probably there's a focus here on astronomy. And we know that the ancient Maya were astute stargazers and brilliant mathematicians and were advanced in ways that we're just beginning to appreciate.
The Mayan calendar is a system of timekeeping and cycles, and it has been proven time and time again to be perhaps one of the most accurate systems ever noted by humankind. It is tracked without fail every solar eclipse, every lunar eclipse, and even takes into account changes in the rotation and the speed of the rotation of the Earth to accommodate these. So without question, we know that it is an accurate system of timekeeping. The one thing it does not take into account, however, is the human response during the cycles of time that it is tracking.
This 13 Bakhtun cycle of time is a great world age period in Mayan mythology. And in the Maya creation mythology, we see reference to five of these great world ages. And this 13 Bakhtun period is clearly the one that we're about to end right now. It's very clear that the end of this great cycle would be the moment of greatest importance.
What we do know is that the Maya were amazing mathematicians. They were careful, patient observers and recorders of natural cycles, and they'd made these advanced tools, these calendars, for marking events in linear time and for use in prophecy. Now that makes me take notice. That gets my attention. It makes me want to know, what did they know? Had they seen the future? Had they created these timetables for the playing out of some master cosmic plan? And if so, how had they gleaned their knowledge? Was it solely the result of keen observation, or were they tuning into something more?
What we know is that there are cycles, geologic cycles, measurable cycles, that we can see in the geologic record that have happened time and time and time again. And the Mayan calendar appears to accommodate and allow for these cycles as well, such as magnetic reversals of the Earth. And a growing body of research and scientific consensus suggests that we are in fact in one of those cycles right now, the cycle of a 180 degree magnetic reversal or a flip in the sense of the magnetic fields of the Earth. So the calendar marking 2012, it's showing us a window of time with regard to the cycles themselves, how we respond to the changes that we feel in our bodies and the changes that we're shown in the world around us remains up to us as individuals and collectively.
Well, in my research into the 2012 end date, it became very clear to me that the Maya had intended that date to target an astronomical alignment, a very rare alignment of our sun on the solstice with the center of the galaxy. And this is a kind of alignment that happens only once every 26,000 years.
The Maya had several different calendars. The most important ones are the Zolkin, which is a 260-day sacred almanac. And then there's a 365-day Harb, which had no leap days included in it. And there is the Long Count calendar, which is based on a 360-day year called a Tun. So it's the Long Count, which is the one that connects to 2012. But something that Jose Arguelles discovered and brought out in The Mind Factor is very, what I consider to be his most important insight, is that the Maya today say that the meaning of the Zolkin is that it governs the length of human gestation. So because that's 260 days, or what they call kin, the Long Count can be mapped out on the same structure because it consists of 260 katuns, periods of about just under 20 years. So that you could say that because recorded history coincides with the start of this Long Count 13 Bakhtun cycle, 3114 BC, that the Long Count is mapping out not individual gestation, but planetary gestation.
have you heard of a guy called Gerald... I can never say it. Gerald Celente?
No. The name's familiar, but no.
He's a US... He's kind of a modern-day prophet. He's a US trend forecaster. And this guy... A lot of people in the financial industry, in Wall Street, whatever, actually look to him for trend, what they call trend forecasting. So what they do is they look at the things that are going on now, and they can predict 2 or 3, 4, 5 years into the future what happens, taking into account what's going on now.
So basically following the trends from the present.
From the present, yeah. So they look at everything now,
and then basically predicting how it's going to evolve into a future event, and then
which is
play the market.
Exactly.
Basically.
Which is quite easy, isn't it? I mean, if for instance, take it into your personal life. If I was in debt $2,000 or $3,000 now, and I was earning so much now. You took all into account all these other factors, and I've got a car, and I need to pay for petrol, blah 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 blah. So they just look at what's going on now, and what's likely to happen in the future. And this guy has never been wrong. He's actually on record as saying in 2007, November, that the coming year would bring the beginning of an economic crisis, the likes of which no one alive has ever seen. Now, that's what he said in 2007, just before we started to nosedive into this economic crisis. And he predicted...
But then that would mean that this is going to get a lot worse then.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, I mean, the Great Depression was a lot worse than this.
Yeah, he's saying that this will get worse than the Great Depression.
So that's comforting, isn't it?
Yeah, well, you know. This the whole thing that's around kind of 2012, I think. Although, you know, a lot of people don't point to his predictions. He's predicted... Now, this is in America, so...
Pinch of salt?
No, not... What I was going to say was... What's that saying? America catches a cold and we sneeze. Right?
Yeah, they're just... Yeah, gone.
So, whatever happens there... And we see it all the time, don't we? Whatever happens there tends to happen here about 2 or 3 years later.
Yeah, then would that not give us forewarning?
Well, we're so...
You know, to prepare for it.
We're so interlinked, aren't we, with America, our economic systems.
So even though we can see it coming, there's not a lot we can do about it.
No. There's a lot of things, you know, a lot of people can see this coming, and there's not a lot being done about it now. But that's a whole different show.
So where were you going with that, then?
He's predicted... Revolution, tax riots, rebellion, marches. He says that by 2012, food will be the number one Christmas gift.
That'd make it a lot easier, wouldn't it?
So, you know, forget your computer games and stuff like that. You're going to be happy.
Yeah. I'd be happy unwrapping a kebab Christmas morning. Oh,
more like a loaf of bread or something.
Yeah, or an orange, yeah. Which is what they used to do.
So we're going back to that, he thinks, by 2012, and that America will become the first undeveloped country. Now, bear in mind, this guy's never been wrong.
Right, but it doesn't mean to say that he won't be wrong.
No, there's always...
You've got to take the objective view, you know, that...
He could be wrong this time.
This guy's not God.
No.
He's not a prophet. He's just very good at what he does.
But he's very scientific. He's not a prophet in by way of looking into crystal balls and things like that. He's
Hang on a sec. Hang on.
How would you react to hearing something like this? Within 9 months, our country will experience total economic collapse. The unemployment rate will triple and will be in a greatest depression. You probably dismiss it as crazy talk, except the person who is saying these things is far from crazy. It would be easy to dismiss Gerald Celente as a nut.
We're going to see depression level unemployment rates, 22-25%. We're going to see vacant malls, vacant strip malls, ghost malls. We're going to see a commercial real estate collapse. We're going to start seeing food riots. We're going to start seeing a lot of crime. Empire America is fading fast.
Except you can't call him a nut. Far from it. He's been featured by many major newspapers and TV networks, consulted major corporations, and he's accurately forecasted everything from the stock market crash of 1987 to the bursting real estate bubble, the panic of 08, as he calls it.
But we just look at the facts. And again, we're not Johnny Come Latelys on this. We've been predicting this. You know, I've been in business since 1980. I've written books. We have the Trends Journal. Our track record is there for everyone to look at.
An economist by trade, Salenti has carved out a niche as a top-notch trends forecaster. We went to visit him at his office in upstate New York to talk about the economy. After studying and forecasting trends for nearly 30 years, Salenti is now saying the U.S. economy will totally collapse. The bailouts, the stimulus plans, he says they won't work. They're only delaying the inevitable. Economic Armageddon.
You can't print money based on nothing. It's not even economics 101. It's economics for dummies. You can't. That's why gold prices are going up. They're going to look back in history and say, oh my God, how could these people have been so stupid?
Salenti says we will see worse than the Great Depression for several reasons. In the 1930s, most people did not own homes, have home equity loans, or credit cards. As a nation, we were the world's manufacturing engine. The nation had a trade and budget surplus, not trillions of dollars of debt.
So we're going into the greatest depression, and it's going to be ugly.
How ugly? Massive unemployment, bank holidays, ghost malls, civil unrest, food riots, and a tax revolution by 2012.
We're saying 2012 because we're looking at that date as a time when we believe there's going to be a new third-party system. It's going to be a time when all good men finally realize that now is the time to come to the aid of your country. So we're seeing that as the break point. It may be earlier, it may be a little later.
Salenti may be unsure about the exact time for the tax revolution, but he is certain about the impending collapse of our economy.
In November of 08, we took out the domain name, the collapse of 09.
Do you feel more sure about this than anything you've ever forecasted?
Yes. As sure as our most assured forecast. Absolutely.
Joe Salenti says the only way our country can avoid total economic collapse is the invention of a new alternative energy, something big, something groundbreaking, along the lines of fire or the wheel. In the short term, he highly recommends saving as much money as you can.
Sorry about that disruption there. Just had a special guest come into the studio. Welcome, Neil. What have you been up to?
I've been trying to secure myself a place to live. And it's turned out quite fruitful.
Okay, all right. Well, we shall talk about that after the show.
Yes.
Is it in Folkestone?
Folkestone, yes. No. Not Folkestone.
Not Folkestone.
Folkestone. All right. Well, we'll carry on where we left off then. As I was saying to Neil, just talking about Gerald Salenti, the trend forecaster.
Yeah.
You know about this guy, don't you?
Yes, I do. Yeah, I know quite a lot about him.
Yeah, he's never been wrong, has he, on previous predictions?
He's been right over the last 14 years with his predictions, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
And actually, I think it's longer than that. I think it's probably over 20 years now. He actually predicted the Wall Street crash as well.
Mm-hmm. He's predicted this current economic crisis as well.
The LA riots he predicted?
Yep, that's right, yeah. So, as I was saying to you, Sean, I mean, this guy's fairly on the ball when it comes to what's coming up ahead. Maybe not, 40, 50 years down the line, but he's pretty on the ball with the next 10 years.
Yeah, so he's got knowledge of what's likely to happen within the next decade.
What Gerald Salenti does, he looks at history and dissects it and he looks at the mistakes that are made.
That's right,
past.
Yeah.
And that's what trends is really, isn't it? That's what it's about.
Yeah, it's basically knowing your history, knowing what happens in history.
And knowing human nature.
Yeah, just understanding human nature, history, and current trends. And then you just come up with, what's going to happen next. And he's fairly accurate at it. So, you got him. Now, where was I? With Gerald Salenti.
Yeah, he was there.
And I was saying that that this prophecy was different from Y2K in the fact that it's being predicted by the Bible, ancient Rome, the Mayans, the Webbot project. Don't know if anyone's heard of that one.
Yeah, were we going to talk about that?
I think because that's been quite successful in predicting stuff as well. Have you heard of the Webbot project now?
No, I haven't, no.
I've got some notes here. It's quite intriguing. The WebBot project developed... Hang on, let me just get rid of this bastard thing. Get right. Sorry about that. Developed in the late 90s, was created to assist in making stock market predictions. The technology uses a system of spiders to crawl the internet and search for keywords, much like a search engine does. When a keyword is located, the bot program takes a snapshot of the text preceding and following the keyword. This snapshot of text is sent to a central location where it is then filtered to define meaning. So basically, it just sort of crawls the web, looking at what people are talking about and stuff like that. The project's concept is aimed at tapping into the collective unconscious of the universe and its inhabitants. As well, there is an interesting time concept involved, an unusual concept of a tipping point regarding the past, current, and future times. It goes a bit deeper than viewing what those of us on the internet are saying. But in 2001, bot operators began to notice that stock market predictions were not the only matters being accurately predicted by the program. They began to take notice of the coincidence with occurrences and explored it further. One of the first accurate predictions from the bot program took place in June of 2001. The program predicted that a life-altering event would take place within the next 60 to 90 days. An occurrence of such proportion that its effects would be felt worldwide. And regrettably, the bot program's prediction proved accurate and the Twin Towers fell on 9/11/2001. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So that's the web bot. And that also predicts another world event in 2012.
So what about the events leading up to 2012? I mean, has WebBot predicted any of these?
Let's have a look.
So what it does is it takes other people's opinions, then moulds them into its own theory on what might happen in the future. Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So basically, watching trends on the stock market, and then finding out what's gonna happen.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah. So you take that and apply it to the internet and people. All it's doing is looking at what people are talking about, blah 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 blah, and predicts trends from that. And it predicts a worldwide calamity, to be accurate, taking place in the year 2012.
Right, hang on a minute, there's a cat loose in here. Can you not hear it? One sec.
And the I Ching.
The I Ching, yeah.
Yeah, as well as the WebBot. So I think, as I was saying at the beginning of the show somewhere, you know, this has got a lot more grounding to it than Y2K did. Which was just a hoax, as we all know.
Yeah, for all these IT companies to make loads of money out of it.
Well, that's what we think, yeah. But
yeah, it's possible.
Yeah. Oh, sorry, and Merlin. Almost forgot Merlin.
Oh, yeah, go for Merlin.
So, look, he predicted the end of the world or a calamity, not necessarily in 2012, but in the 21st century. Some of the accurate ones he came out with were the first American colony, the victory of Napoleon, and the Holocaust were the things that he accurately predicted. I think that's all of them.
What about the old bird?
Oh, what's her name? Where is it? Oh, Mother Shipton.
Mother Shipton.
Who's this?
It's...
Well, there's some...
There's some debate whether or not she actually existed or not.
Yes. But actually,
with a name
quite
like that,
funny.
She probably did.
Yeah, she's probably making Yorkshire puddings now.
I'm glad you brought this up, actually, because I think you... You know, I asked you to watch that documentary.
Yeah.
Because this is one that had Mother Ships in it. I reckon you missed something they said in there, which I always missed it as well.
What, like, the guy who wrote it?
Yeah,
his name?
Yeah.
I do miss it. Richard Head.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe that.
No. I couldn't believe the guy who's talking about it could keep a straight face.
No, exactly.
No. So, mind you, it was American.
There was generally no evidence she existed, and there's a pretty strong theory suggesting that this guy, Richard Head, to save his failing literary career...
Invented... Well, or because new ones appeared, like hundreds of years after her death, you know, and these were meant to be the new predictions of Mother Shipton.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it was quite obviously using it to his own advantage.
But she's attributed with predicting the death of, if she missed it, the death of Henry VIII, Spanish Armada, Queen Victoria, and World War One and Two. And I believe her predictions first came out in 1641.
So, right, go on.
Couldn't this be down to what Gerald Celente says as well, you know? They could call him a prophet, couldn't they?
Well, no, because he's more of a... Yeah, I mean, you could. He's like a modern-day prophet, isn't he? But at least he bases his...
But he's using social science instead of witchcraft or...
I see what you mean, yeah.
Yeah, so couldn't they be like an old version, you know, of Gerald Celente in a sense?
I thought about it, yeah.
Because, you know, I don't really believe in all this stuff that, you know, oh, I had a vision and all this sort of stuff. Sometimes you can see things happening before they do. It's like, you know, let's say, for instance, say you're a police officer and you've been doing it for years and years and years, and you can spot criminals from a mile off, even without them doing anything. You just know there's something about them, and or you might think to yourself, that guy's going to attack some guy walking down the street as I'm driving past in a patrol car or something, you know, and he goes and does it, you know.
Yeah.
And it's things like that, and if you study life and you see people doing exact, because life's very routine, isn't it? You know, and history repeats itself.
Yeah.
So I think all these prophecies, I don't think they're, you know, the word prophet really doesn't. I don't know. I just think it's a little bit wanky, really.
Yeah, I had the same thought. I thought, you know, because I can't remember which one it was, but there's this one prophet who said, In during this time of apocalypse, people will be able to instantaneously talk to one another by holding a stone. Okay, it's kind of a bit vague and ambiguous, and everyone's jumped on it and said, "Oh, the cell phone," because basically all a cell phone is, it works on a little quartz crystal, which is a stone. It's a bit like me saying, in the future there will be human colonies on Mars." Now, the chances are...
that would happen.
That's going to happen. 400, 500 years from now, there probably will be colonies on Mars. So, yeah, I know it's that. Sometimes, maybe, it's just looking at, you know, what people...
Well, it's just looking at how technology is going to advance in the future, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, you know, and how people will use that technology for their own advantage, especially superpowers.
So, like you said, it's just understanding human nature and the potential of human nature, and then making an ambiguous prediction on it.
Mm.
Yeah, you could be right.
So, what's next?
I don't know. I can go into more of these people if you want.
So, how is the world going to end?
Right. I've got a kind of top 10 of how the world's going to end. I think number one is going to be an alien invasion.
That's your favourite one, isn't it?
That's my favourite.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've heard of Quetzalcoatl.
Yes, we have.
The feathered serpent who... I believe one of the Mayan prophets said would return in 2012 with all his children to enslave humanity. I think that's quite likely.
So you reckon an alien race is going to ascend from the heavens?
Yeah.
Descend, sorry, from the heavens.
I think they've been...
enslave all of humanity?
Yeah, because I think they've been slowly getting us used to that anyway, because, you know, we're seeing lights in the sky and all this sort of thing. I think they're getting... For that kind of scenario.
So, and what else?
number two, the dead will rise from the grave.
you like that one as well?
Yeah,
don't you?
I do like that.
You just want to go on a zombie killing spree.
Yeah. I think
I can't see that one. That's even less likely than the first one.
No, the first one's very likely.
It's likely. And it's not likely. It's possible.
I suppose the most likely is, I mean, if you, like we were talking about earlier, you know, we can see this financial collapse getting worse and worse. So really, I suppose the most likely thing is that by 2012, no one's got a job. There's riots kicking off everywhere and revolutions, and that'll be the turn.
Yeah, that's not going to bring about the end of days.
Well, if the whole infrastructure of society breaks
exactly.
down, it'd be quite catastrophic, really, I think.
Yeah,
but it's still not going to bring about the end of days, is it?
It will bring a society collapse, which is near enough, you know.
Well, it will turn into hell on earth then, won't it, really? Because there'll be no law. There'll be no, you know, people just go around and do what the hell they like.
Yeah, but you'll end up with small pockets of
resistance.
What do they call it? No, yeah.
I'll be one of those.
I just imagine
Ben would have a big pocket though, the size of his trousers. So.
You'd be there with your spud gun.
No, you'd just be your rapier wit, you'd use it.
I would walk up to them and say, "Do you mind?"
And that would just cut them down to size.
Yes, it would. I would shear them with my wit, and they would fall to the ground like a sobbing wreck.
Yes.
As I walk past them with my long flowing cape of silver. Yes.
Yes.
That's right. Anyway.
What I was going to say is that, you know, even if society did completely break down and people just went off and did their own thing, there'd be small pockets of society, wouldn't there? As it is now. Somebody would lead, wouldn't they? Somebody would lead these small,
well, they have to, wouldn't you?
Small pieces of. You know,
it'd be very violent first, and then it would slowly start to get better, well, after a while.
Yeah.
It'd be very violent at first, though.
Basically starting anew.
Yeah.
But you wouldn't, because you'd still know everything, wouldn't you?
Yeah, and that is, I think that's what apocalypse means, isn't it? Just a transformation.
It means change, doesn't it?
Change out of chaos, yeah. So there you go. And now I suppose that really does look the most likely thing.
But we'd be good if aliens had come down, wouldn't we?
Well, I think that's still quite a strong possibility.
What was we? Do you remember a few years ago when we were talking about trans-dimensional creatures coming down? Do you remember that?
Yeah.
You know, you could be in your bedroom and some big portal opens, you know, and this monster go rah, and just come out, you know, just drag you into this vortex.
Yeah, the portal would appear inside your wardrobe, though, wouldn't it?
Why?
Why for your wardrobe?
Because it's more traditional, isn't it? Portal's got opening wardrobes.
No, there's not many wardrobes now.
So it can crash out the wardrobe, this big swirly void behind it, drag you
it's
in.
It's not Sean, it's not fucking Narnia.
No, I'll tell you what, where I'm thinking of is definitely not Narnia.
Alright, okay. Narnia, X-rated. Imagine it. Aslan, why are you foaming at the mouth?
Because I want to tear your fucking heart out.
Nice.
Anyway.
Yeah. Anyway, aliens. Yeah, I like that method of apocalypse. It's pretty good.
I mean, come on, you know, there's nothing better than to actually see an alien with it. You know, see a ship land, you know, in some major capital city, and just see it all go. Oh,
it'd
nuts.
Be the best thing on telly ever, wouldn't it?
Oh, it would. Yeah.
That's ever been on TV. That's what TV was made for.
You would. You just have an orgasm, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Not Spock would.
But well, he would actually.
On that point.
He'd probably slip on it as he went to shake with all the hands, you know, slipping his own juice.
On that point, we want to launch a.
Oh, God, he's going to launch his campaign now.
My campaign, it's our campaign.
No, it's your campaign. You're campaigning.
I'm not going on my own,
am I? Well, no, if it works, then we'll go with you.
If it works? What do you mean, if it works? I've got fucking 3 years to do it.
Well, you didn't. You're the guinea pig, so get on
right,
with it.
Right, okay, well, we'd like to launch a campaign. Basically, when the website launches, we're going to kindly ask for donations so that we can. Bad Moon Rising can go and report on the end of the world in 2012 in Central America.
Doesn't it have to be Central America, though, does it?
Well, no, because there is. I think it's the Tikal Pyramid where it's supposed to kick off.
Well, that's going to be the epicenter.
Yeah. Yeah. That's when all the aliens are going to start coming down, what have you.
Okay. What, they're going to stop off there first?
Well, no, yeah, that's where it's all going to start.
Okay. How big is this temple?
Well, that's where it's all going to end, is what I mean. Because it's already started there, so.
Okay.
So, yeah, if people could kindly donate to that, and we'll go out and report for BMR, you know, as it's happening.
Obviously, they don't know where to donate at the moment.
Not yet. Well, you know, wait for the website to come up in mid-June, or late June now. And, any donations kindly accepted. And we'll try and get a live feed from there as well.
Yeah, we'll keep up a running total of...
Yeah, we'll have one of those thermometers.
Yeah, well, a big thermometer.
Yeah.
End of the world thermometer.
Yeah.
Apocalypse thermometer.
That's the one.
Yes.
Okay. So
anyway, that's...
And a packet of pick and mix.
Oh, yeah. When
we got to be chewing on some Harry Bows when the world's going down, haven't we?
Tangfastics.
So that'll fund our flight tickets.
And the weapons.
And the weapons and the vehicle. So
that's for next month, though, isn't it?
Because when I go down, I'm taking someone with me.
Well, you'll be taking some aliens from Gargamesh down with you.
you know what I told you, when I go down, I'll take someone with me.
Yeah? Why is that then?
It's just swearful.
Ah. Okay.
Right. Come on then, host away.
What's next then? So we covered
kind of had a
Merlin's Webot project.
Good old coverage.
Have we talked about climate change yet?
Not really.
I suppose that. Yeah.
It sounded like you did the fingers then, but you didn't, did you?
I didn't punctuate in the air. No.
Okay.
Hate people do that. It's like Billy Connolly said, you just want to snap their fingers in two if they do that, don't you? I hate people doing that. Really annoying me.
And it's when I do the double one as well.
And you say, what?
You say, well, they're not.
What day is it today? It's Friday. All day. Anyway. Climate change.
Is it happening there? At an unnatural rate? Is it not just a part of the natural cycle?
The way I see it, it is part of the natural cycle of the Earth. Every 100,000 years, we go through an ice age. Okay, we went through a mini ice age in the early 1900s.
It's called the Little Ice Age, wasn't it?
It's a mini ice age.
If it was called the Little Ice Age.
Mini, little, same difference. Don't interrupt me. Anyway, and so we're due for one now, and the scientists even predicted this, and. But the way they're going about, the Earth's heating up, and this will bring on like an apocalyptic event, which I don't think it will. Obviously, you know, if we all die out, the Earth's still going to be fine, isn't it?
Yeah.
It'll just, you know.
It'll repair itself.
It'll repair itself, it'll carry on, you know. But the way these people, these friends of the Earth, they do my head, especially when you're walking down the high street and these market researchers come up to you. Excuse me.
Can I have your direct debit details? Because you want to save the Earth.
And it's just like, no, give me my bank account details to you. It isn't going to save the Earth. How ridiculous is that? And you think to yourself, well, how do these guys get paid? They get paid out the donations made by the public, you know. So it's just a big con, really, isn't it?
You don't know, really, do you? It's hard to tell. I mean, there's a lot of evidence coming out now that is saying that this is all rubbish. And I don't know, do you remember in just before, well, late, no, sort of late 70s, early 80s, they were actually saying that we are heading towards an ice age?
I don't remember that.
Don't you? If you look
at it. Obviously, it didn't happen.
No, it didn't. This is what they were banging on about, sort of late 70s, early 80s. They were saying we're heading towards.
Because they knew it was going to happen, yeah.
And then now they're saying we're heading towards global warming. And
nah, but are these the same scientists saying this, though?
They're actually saying that we're heading for global cooling.
Oh, now I'm getting really confused.
Global cooling is just an easier easier word than saying ice age. That's what it is. It's like credit crunch, you know, carrot crunch, whatever. Because it's easy on the ear, isn't it? If you say something like recession, people, if you say credit crunch, it sounds a bit nicer.
It sounds like cereal, doesn't it? It's like, oh, it's a bit credit crunchy. It's a bit, you know.
Yeah, you can just imagine some sort of well-adjusted American kid sitting down to eat his bowl of credit crunch.
they might even have it in bar form by then.
Pouring over his ice-cold milk over the credit crunch and just munching away, you know. And you can just see that happening, and it's just sad.
It's a sound bite, isn't it?
It is, yeah. That's exactly what it is. And you know, and you can see it happening as well. And also, they're making a hell of a lot of tax from it as well, aren't they?
Yeah. Plus, I mean, there's always that theory that, you know, they need us to be scared in order to justify their existence.
Yeah, obviously.
So,
there's always... They create fear.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they do.
Yeah. The war on terror. The war on drugs. The war on the environment.
Swine flu.
The war on you.
Yeah. or is it... Did you say the war on terror?
Yeah.
Or is it the War of Terror?
Oh, it's the War of
Terror,
I suppose.
Or
War on Terrorism.
What about the acronym of the war? The War Against Terror.
Or... Well, I can't think of one. I was trying to sound all witty then, but it just didn't happen. But I don't know, you just don't know. Maybe nothing's going to happen. Maybe
you have to be cautious, but... I think, because there's also that theory that everyone, well, it's not actually theory, it's a lot of scientific evidence for the fact that the sun is getting cooler, isn't it, as well?
Yeah, but that's going to take billions of years.
No, it goes through 7-year cycles of really heating up, throwing off loads of flares. And oddly,
solar flares are cool, aren't they?
Yeah, exactly.
Is it solar flares, yeah.
Yeah, and oddly enough, that it's predicted to kick off again in 2012.
Yeah, is that not what is going to cause a shift of the poles on Earth?
Not that exactly. This is that what you're talking about there is going back to the Mayans. I've written some notes on it somewhere. It's called the apparently in 2012, December 21st, 2012, Mayans believed that we were going to.
We're getting some. Stop, Ben. Listen to this. We're getting some interference.
Can you hear this?
No.
We're getting some interference from some bloody space station.
Can you not hear that?
No.
Can you not hear that, Ben?
I'd like to. No, I can't. I'd like to listen to that back.
Are you recording it, Sean?
I don't know if it's recording.
Sean, you mean
what?
Cool. Shut up! Stop talking, Ben. That was it.
No, I can't hear it now.
What's going on?
Let me just see if I've not got any windows open.
I bet he has.
did you
make close that one?
Did you make out any words?
Yeah, we can hear things. Yeah, we're talking about some space station.
Oh, it's gone now.
That's a bit fucking scary. I was just about to expect.
Something really weird. Can you hear that?
Leave that in the show. I mean,
if it's recorded, I will. Yeah, we just had some bleed through.
It did say some space station then, didn't it?
Yeah.
How bizarre.
They're American, so.
Okay. That's interesting.
we'll check that out later and report on it.
Well,
yeah. That was quite bizarre, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Leave it in the show if it's there.
If it's there, I don't know if it's come out or not. Oh, I mean, you couldn't hear it, could you, sir?
But you're the recording end, so.
No. Right, we're 40 minutes into the show. I see the show has sort of collapsed again.
No, it hasn't. You always say it collapses. It hasn't collapsed. I was talking about the...
Just for this time, didn't you?
You were talking about pole shift, weren't you?
What?
Pole shift.
Yeah.
And I was saying that, yeah, it's all based on the Mayan thing where, I think, who is it? It's called the Dark Rift, where the Earth and the Sun line up with galactic central point in the Milky Way. Mm-hmm.
that right at the centre, that is a black hole.
Isn't yeah. And the, my,
where did you get this information from?
From a documentary.
Okay.
So the Dark Rift, which they thought was a black hole. The Mayans thought it was a black hole. And only in the last 10 years we've actually confirmed that, yes, there is a black hole in the centre of the Milky Way.
That's interesting.
And we line up with it every 25,800 years. Earth, it's an Earth-Sun alignment. And there's some theory that as that occurs, it will cause a polar shift within the Earth, and the pole will, from north, will go to south, from south will go to north, and cause huge weather disturbances. So we've got quite a lot of, you know, things lined up for this 2012. There's you know, there's tons of stuff, and it all seems to converge on the same year.
We're going to have to look into this. I'm going to put something, I'll put some stuff on the blog as well. So if anybody wants to go and read the blog, it's badmoonrisingpodcast.blogspot.com.
Yeah.
And we'll stick some bits on there. And, yeah, I mean, if we can find any images or anything, we'll stick them on there as well.
Okay.
Just don't tell anyone, because it might be copyrighted.
Oh, nice one.
Yeah. But no, go and check out the blog. And, obviously, if you want to leave a message, you can.
Indeedy doody. Oh, and you got some future shows planned or something?
Have I?
Yeah, well, like I've got the Paradesk and stuff.
Oh, yeah, no, they're not shows, they're features.
Oh, features,
okay. Wasn't Paradesk going to be a feature on the show, though?
Well, you can stick it in the show, or we can just keep it individual.
You could have them as standalone ones, I suppose.
Yeah.
But no, I'm going to have next week, hopefully, because you're not on next week, are you, Spock?
Nope, all the week after.
Oh, so, Spock's taking a fortnight off, lazy bastard. And so it'll be me, Tracy, maybe Neil, if he can get in on it. Don't know.
It turns out if I'm what day I'm working with.
Possibly Damien as well. Let me know what show subjects you go for.
Right, okay. Hang on, there's a bloody cat outside the door again. Dizzy, you're a pain in the arse.
This show's just been fucking impossible from start to
start. I know. I can't believe how many distractions there've been. Oh, it's a fucking nightmare.
And
why don't you go and turn the baby monitor off in his room, because that's what's echoing.
Oh, it's too late now, we've nearly finished the bloody show.
Got cats going, baby monitors going.
I know, couldn't believe it.
It's like a, I don't know, like a domestic AK-47 firing at it all rounds.
Yeah. Oh, it's not shut up. Right. Dizzy, they're under the bloody bed. In here trying to find a sodding kittens. They're in that box, look. In there.
This house is completely nuts tonight.
In there, in that box. Get in the bloody box and have a look.
God.
Oh. Doors banging downstairs. We've got baby monitors going ape shit.
Oh. Spock, can you hear that downstairs?
Yeah.
It probably means you can hear it throughout the whole sodding podcast.
Yeah, I did, yeah.
Oh, you didn't tell me?
Oh, it doesn't matter. It's just Hoovers and things.
Okay. Right, well, I'm going to slot in some commercials in here as well. So.
Okay.
You can now contact the show via email at badmoonrising@howling.com and voicemail on 001-206-888-6184. Or you can follow the Bad Moon Rising blog at badmoonrisingpodcast.blogspot.com. For all the behind-the-scenes info. Or you can text us on 044-7999-057-898. Or follow us on Twitter. Just follow Bad Moon Rising 1.
But, what have we done? So, do you want to talk about anything else?
How long have we got left?
15 minutes.
Okay. Right, So really, we don't know what's going to go on, do we?
No.
We really
I mean, it's the first time, you know, prophecies from all over the world are pointing towards this day. It's probably,
yeah, I mean, they've not been the same as other prophecies.
Don't you think it's a self?
Well, no, we got two. We got the I Ching, and the mimes predicted exactly what day. Now they're huge continents apart. They're on the other side of the world, and you know they didn't know one another at the time. So we got two there, and we got all the others like the oracles. we got what's his name? Gerald Salenti, the financial trend forecaster, saying that 2012 is going to be the crunch point. 100. You got every from every sort of corner of the world. We got people pointing towards 2012. So you know, out of all the prophecies that have come and gone and have been complete bullshit, they never had as much backing as this.
No.
This is the mother of all prophecies. If this one doesn't come true, no one's ever going to look at prophecies again, because this is
this is it. They're all going to look really bit silly, aren't they?
The final prophecy. There are no more prophecies after this one.
Come Christmas, bloody 2012, people will be going, oh, like that, no. Or they wake up the morning of the 22nd and go, oh.
Yeah. They walk in the and all these.
I wonder how many people talk about it on the news and stuff.
Oh, of course they will. They will.
The papers make a big thing of it, I'm sure they will. If it doesn't happen, no. Especially the Sun, you know, Express.
The Sun and the Daily Star.
The Sport will probably say it's happened.
Mm.
Even though it hasn't.
So, yeah.
I need to bung some audio into this as well, don't I?
Yep.
Pad it out a bit.
Do you think you got much editing on this one?
I'm just going to take out the gaps, okay. Basically.
Right.
I'll listen through it all again.
There's a lot of waffling going on.
Well, yeah. That's right.
And we're all sober on this show.
I know.
We are, yeah.
That might be what it
is. Incredible,
isn't it?
Yeah.
And crazy.
We are really are crazy times.
Well, I can drink anyway because I have my tablet.
Mm. Oh, how is your back?
Better than it was.
You know, my ribs are still giving me shit, you know.
Yeah.
Did I tell you that I broke my ribs, Bob?
Yeah, you did. What? How did you do that again?
Came off my bike because I was attacked by a badger.
Get away!
A badger ran out in front of me as I was cycling really fast down the road.
I
lost control of the bike and ended up doing.
Are you making that up?
No, this is true. Ended up doing a backflip in the air. Right, landed on the verge quite violently, yeah. And then the bike flew up in the air and landed on my ribcage.
So it wasn't the actual fall that hurt him, it was the bike.
So I was lying on the road, not able to breathe for about 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Luckily, I had my mobile on me, but the battery had run out.
Yeah.
That's
hilarious.
The
funniest thing
about
you, isn't it?
So I woke up the next day, I couldn't get out of bed. It took me 15 minutes to get out of bed, because I was in so much pain.
Uh-huh.
And I had to go to work, because that was my first night there. So, yeah, it was great. And then I locked my bike up on Friday outside the pub, and some little twat stove the front and back wheel in.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
And destroyed the handlebars on it, and there was a little sign on it from the police station saying, due to the damage done to your bike, we'd like, could you please contact our police station as soon as possible, please? So I just chucked it. So I've had really good luck.
I've had a pretty shit year this
year. Oh, it's been a crap week all round, isn't it, really?
Yeah, it has been a crap week. You've done your back
end. I've done my back end. It's getting better now, this. Oh, should we leave it here for this show?
Yeah, we're all a bit zonked.
Should we do
suicide? I just feel really depressed now.
Should we do suicide next week?
What are we going to have playing in the background, then?
What goes with this? I know. REM. It's the end of the world as we know it.
REM,
yeah?
End of the world.
Yeah.
Okay. 3, 2, 1. Play now in the background. We'll have that then. Oh, dear. So, what do you think of this week's show then?
That's alright. It's a bit muted all round because I think, you know, plus about one. With weather. Shit and stuff. But at least we've launched our 2012 campaign. Start seeing those donations come in. Just to the listeners, expect website launch kind of around about beginning of July. So things will start to pick up soon, plus some feature shows. I'll be doing the Paradesk, which is just like a Newsly a weekly news thing on all the weird and paranormal things that are going on. And you, Sean, have you got a feature that you're gonna?
No, not really. I'm just looking for the. Yeah, obviously, say something else, quick. No, my name.
Alright, let's just go with that. It's a wrap.
Yes, no, because I've got your contact details. Look, keep talking, I've got to find them.
Well, hurry up, I mean, that song only goes on for so long, so hurry up.
Right, hang on. Right, we'll keep talking then, I've got to find them.
There we go. Yeah. Actually, what, are you going to give out the email?
Yeah.
Because we're going to try and go a bit off the beaten track from now on. We kind of covered all the popular subjects, so if people would like to email in suggestions, we might be able to pick those up and go with it.
Oh, okay.
Otherwise, okay. We'll find odd and strange subjects ourselves, no doubt.
Oh. Okay. So if you want to send us an email, you can send it to badmoonrising@howling.com, or if you want to leave us a voicemail and want it played on the show, maybe next week if we get enough, then call 001-206-888-6184. Remember, it's a North American number, so if you don't live there, make sure you get free calls to America, otherwise it's going to cost you about 50p. I think that's about it. Eh? You can follow us on Twitter if you want. Just follow Bad Moon Rising 1. And obviously you can go and read the blog, badmoonrisingpodcast.blogspot.com. And that's all I've got to say on Saturday.
Okay, bye people.
Okay, say goodbye now.
Adios, amigo.
Okay, we'll see you next week. Bye!
Now contact the show via email at badmoonrising@howling.com and voicemail on 001-206-888-6184. Or you can follow the Bad Moon Rising blog at badmoonrisingpodcast.blogspot.com for all the behind the scenes info. Or you can text us on 044-799-057-898 or follow us on Twitter, just follow Bad Moon Rising 1.